Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Caitlin Sinkinger-Meyer is revealed. Another superstar is concussed. And who are the Bound for Glory participants this year? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So, Fandango is concussed. And do you know who caused this?
I believe it was Summer Rae, if memory serves me correctly.
No, actually, Zack Ryder. Not sure when it happened last SmackDown, but he did get concussed. And he was big news on WWE.com and lots of other websites. Some people thought it was an angle, but hey, it's legit. So what ended up happening because of this?
Yeah, so it's a big news because he was involved, of course, in the Triple Threat IC title picture, which we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I do find it a little interesting, mostly because, you know, we have Ziggler get concussed, and then they decide to roll with the Triple H concussion storyline. And then Fandango gets concussed as well. So I, you know, it's interesting timing for all this to be going on. I am kind of curious if they're going to incorporate any of this, though, you know, kind of blur the lines between story and reality.
Don't you think the timing's actually good because of what they're going to do with the Triple Threat match?
I mean, it could be, you know, but we'll talk about that in a second. Let's move on, though, to WWE programming, because Triple H and Vince McMahon, they're not seeing eye to eye on things.
Nope. Not at all, because Raw opened with Trips coming out, and he faced, of course, the one, the only, Mr. Perfect. Just kidding. Curtis Axel, actually, he faced. Interesting.
I was going to say, because I didn't think that Kurt Hennig, zombie Kurt Hennig, was back.
No, not yet. Once the zombie not apocalypse yet. Happens, maybe. But no, yeah, so he wrestled Curtis Axel, and the first one was DQ, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And then Triple H decided to restart the match, and Vince McMahon did the same thing and said
one by forfeit or something like that.
One by forfeit. And then it was a 60-minute Iron Man match. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. I was so excited to it about it, and didn't happen. So technically, didn't Curtis Axel get three wins in?
Well, they said it was only two.
It was only two. Okay. So it was two wins. And of course, they found that hilarious. But the weird part about this thing is I'm actually happy about it. I'm actually happy about this, what they're doing.
Are you happy because it puts Curtis Axel over as an interesting storyline for you? What about it do you enjoy?
It puts Curtis Axel over. And that's the one thing that I really, really dig. He's old. He's older. He's 33, if I'm correct. He may have 5 good years in him. Let's push him now. He's a third generation superstar. Why not do something with him? And I thought the storyline they do with Triple H and putting Axel over, I think is great.
Interesting. I agree, actually. This is weird because I thought that this would be something you and I would not agree about. But I actually do enjoy it. And I'm not a Triple H fan. Curtis Axel is okay. I'm going to be interested to see what they do with his storyline going forward. But that which, we should talk about, you know, right now, which is that Curtis Axel was announced as the third member in the Triple Threat match. And so now we have Curtis Axel taking on The Miz, who's taking on Wade Barrett. What do you think of that?
You know, this is the perfect opportunity to have Wade Barrett drop the title. That's why I was so excited about this, because everything fell into place for Curtis Axel. When you think about it, he was not going to be in this match. Maybe later on he would have, maybe at Money in the Bank. But that's the cool part. That's what I dig about this whole thing. It's set up perfectly. You know, one thing that, comparing wrestling to football, you don't want that number one guy to go down. But if he does, you need to step up. Curtis Axel is doing the same thing. He's stepping up when Fandango gets injured, because I almost can guarantee you Fandango is going to win the IC title. Now
probably.
Now that he's concussed, or he has the concussion. I shouldn't say it that way, but now that he has the concussion, you bring Curtis Axel in, have him win the IC title, and say, just like my father, Mr. Perfect, I am also an IC champ. You know, because of course, there's a lot of people, this is a great argument, is some people still say that Mr. Perfect was the best IC champion ever. It's one of those things, you know.
Yeah, the only thing is, I don't like the idea of him winning the title quickly. This is something I've never been a fan of. If it's a made superstar, when Hogan went to WCW, you know, his first match was for the world title. You know, Goldberg coming into WWE, he went for the world title, but they were made superstars. I've never been a fan of just a normal person immediately running after the IC title, the US or the world title. I've never been a big fan of that. And I think with in this particular case, I think that you could have I wanted to call him his old name, but Curtis Axel, you could have him, you know, work his way up. And I'm not saying have him start off at the very bottom, but you could have him in a match already with Miz. You could have him, you know, have a match with Fandango or with Wade. And then that way, you know, there's a reason for him to be in the title picture. To be honest, this is actually a feud between Wade and with Miz, and he's just getting thrown in the middle of it for no reason at all. And that's actually one thing I don't like. So that, though, I could go on for a while. But Andy, I know that you called this. You, of course, are a huge fan of Caitlyn. And it turns out that Big E was the secret admirer.
Yep. And it looked like he was going to plant one right on her. And then he dropped her and laughed, which I find kind of weird because still, he is a face on one promotion, and then he's a heel on the other. So I thought that this is going to make him turn face. But because of what's going on with Ziggler, and I think this is why it happened this way, because Ziggler's had the concussion issue, you got to keep Big E with him. So it's a joke on Caitlyn at AJ's expense, of course.
Yeah, and in particular, well, not necessarily AJ's expense, but you know, for AJ to really get some, you know, a small victory over her. And they're going to be taking each other on this Sunday at Payback. I'm expecting AJ to win, you know, to get the title. And then you can have some fun things with her and Ziggler about how they're a championship couple or something along those lines. But yeah, I want to move on, though, Andy, to something else that was kind of pretty big, was that Zeb Coulter came out for commentary when Cesaro was taking on Sin Cara. And it looks like he's going to be taking on Cesaro as a new client.
This doesn't make sense to me because it's all about Americans with Zeb Coulter. That's his shtick, you know, that's his thing. Why do you take someone who's considered not to be American and you put him with Zeb Coulter? That's what I don't get. That makes no sense to me, dude.
And I agree with you. If anything else, he's actually turned into, instead of pro-American, he's turned into anti-Mexican. He doesn't like Del Rio and he doesn't like Sin Cara. And I think what they're going to be doing, this is just a guess, but I think that Ziggler is going to retain at Payback. And then Del Rio is going to move on to a program with Cesaro. And that's what I think it might happen, because he was still bashing Cesaro. Or bashing Del Rio during Cesaro's match. So I'm thinking that they might move into that territory. The only thing is, if they do, who does Ziggler take on afterwards?
You know, that is a great question, though. It could be, you know, a number of people. I mean, you could have people thrown in there. You could have Swagger come back, because right now he is hurt. You could take on Swagger. But then you have the problem of a heel, and you don't want that. So Who's the face that's going to come back? You could say, you know, here's the person I'd love to see him wrestle, because I think he's ready to come back. Evan Bourne. Evan Bourne will not do it, though,
because he's not heavyweight championship.
Exactly.
Material.
That's the thing. So who is the next guy? Realistically, to me, it's Sheamus.
Yeah, I was thinking
I mean, no matter how you look at well, actually, no. If The Miz and Wade Barrett finish their feud, technically you could have The Miz take him on as well.
Mm hmm. You could put The Miz in the, you know, world heavyweight picture. Another person too that they could bring back is Christian. Christian's been gone for a long time. And you could, this is, I think, a really good opportunity. You could have Christian and Ziggler, then you could have Del Rio and Cesaro. And that would be a really good program that you could be running, because if anything else, Del Rio and Cesaro, you could then interject them and have a fatal four-way match. You know, if you have Ziggler and Christian in there, you could do a lot of different stuff with that and make it a really cool program. But I think that this, you know, like I said last week, it's a bigger problem of the World Heavyweight title picture and the WWE title picture are so separate and they're so thin. And if you combine them, it would be really, really good. But could go off on about that for a long time. We got a couple other things to talk about, really big things. I wanted to ask you, Andy. So it's been a few weeks now, and they've been shown these promos for the Wyatt family.
Yes.
And I did some research today on them because I actually like the promos. Mm-hmm. I've been a big fan of them, and I didn't realize that the main guy is Husky Harris.
Yep, it's Husky Harris. Mike Rotunda's kid. Not,
yeah.
You didn't realize that?
No, I didn't. He looks good. And like he looks, it's very interesting.
He lost a lot of weight. But he also, if I'm correct, I'm probably wrong, but he tore like a pec muscle, either his something upper body, like pectoral or his tricep, something along those lines. So when he came back, they said, hey, let's do this storyline where you're going to have like this family. It's going to be somewhat of a cult. And you're going to, and the cool part is in NXT, he'll come down and sit in a rocking chair and just rock back and forth. Really creepy. And you're like, what the heck's going on? You got these two big guys coming through. You know, I think their combined weight is over 500 pounds, if I'm right. And I think they're 6'5 and 6'7, something like that. They're big guys. And right now they're the NXT tag champs as well. And those guys will just come down and beat everyone up. This is, to me, this is kind of a cool thing. It's a cult-esque type thing. And they could bring more people into this. But I like the fact that it's him and then his two cronies. I like that. I've been really liking them down at NXT. And their heels down there, and they're going to come into the WWE as heels. And I think the WWE fans are going to eat this stuff alive. It is great stuff.
I think it could be, too. I think it's smart to have the promos. And the promos are intriguing enough that made me go online to see exactly what it was. And I think that's a smart thing. I think that that is what you want to do. And so I think once they make their debut, depending on where you put them in, what picture you put them into, it could be really, really good. I think going after the tag titles is, you know, obviously the safe thing to do. But then you have the issue with the Shield, you know, are they going to, you know, you can't have heel. So yeah, you'd have a transitional champion possibly. But you could also just have them come in and not go after a title to start off with. They could just come in and want to just make their voices heard or make a name for themselves. So I really hope that they have somebody there who's writing good script and storyline for them.
You know what this means? It means that we're going to see Curt Hawkins and JTG again. That's what this means. Because they got to beat someone up, and it's going to be those two guys. So the Shield actually loses big on Raw and SmackDown. So what's this mean? Everyone knows.
They're going to win at the pay-per-view. Yeah.
Great. So big. By the way, do you think that they actually are putting on the best matches right now, the most entertaining matches in the WWE?
Well, Daniel Bryan is definitely doing that right now.
Yes, he is. But do you think the Shield is as well? Dean Ambrose, you know.
For the most part, yeah. I think that the match that Daniel Bryan and Tyler Black, Seth Rollins had on Raw this week was just amazing. But I think the biggest news here is that on SmackDown, they lost for the very first time 3-on-3. And that's a really big deal, you know, to be the first time that you lose. But I think it's smart because it was something where they kept trying and kept trying and kept trying. And then finally, they were able to do it. And I'm okay with that. And it's not because I like Daniel Bryan, because, you know, Kane and Randy Orton were involved too. It's more about the fact that you see that they had this hatred for him and they were finally able to overcome it. And that's going to play really big into the when they face each other at Payback. I'm expecting Shield to retain, but you never know what could happen. So I think that they're actually, you know what? I think they're doing a great job with Shield. And I think them losing was a very smart move.
Yes, I completely agree. So let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is, and use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You're going to see a banner for WWEShop.com. Use that promo code, click on it, and you're going to save a bunch if you spend $70 or $100 or more, and check out HighSpots.com. Impact Wrestling for this week, it's all about Bound for Glory. And before we even get into Bound for Glory, I want to talk about something real quick. I rewatched the pay-per-view, Slammiversary, and it actually made me upset that when he gave Sting the pile driver, he kicked out. You would think that on the plywood, which I don't agree with him doing that, because I think that's a secret that you just don't show up everyone. He did it. It should have been a 1, 2, 3 over with. That actually really bothers me because Sting kicked out of it. I don't know why, but I just had to bring that up, dude. Right. I really, really needed to. It was bugging me ever since the last show. Ever since Saturday, it's just been bugging the crap out of me. I just got to bring that up. That really, really makes me mad. So anyways, let's talk about the Bound for Glory series. We got Robbie E in it, Robbie T. Oh, wait, sorry. Wrong one. All right. We have Jay Bradley, Samoa Joe, Hernandez, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, and Ken Anderson, plus Joseph Park / Abyss and Magnus. So what I don't get is, okay, if it's Joseph Park, technically, is it Abyss too?
I don't know. But Andy, I think so Impact Wrestling this week, look, let's face it, it was all about Bound for Glory.
Yes.
So we're going to just focus on that right now. Out of the people listed, who is missing?
Robbie E? Here's why. And it's not because I like him, because I think he's a worthless character. But the fact that you don't have the one guy who's going to get his butt kicked every time. I mean, you have Kazarian, but I don't like that.
No,
like
Jay him. Bradley.
You think Jay Bradley will be it?
Who the hell is Jay Bradley?
I forgot who Jay Bradley was. I actually was trying to figure out, I'm like, who is Jay Bradley again? But it's just one of those things. But I like the fact they threw Hernandez in there because he has to do something with him and Chavo being done. So I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do with him on this. I like the fact that Aries and Roode are in there. I just like the fact that Daniels and Kazarian are in there. Do you?
Who's missing, though?
Who's missing? Sting? Hogan? Bully Ray? Aces and Eights?
Are you going to name the whole TNA roster?
I'm going to go through all of them. Robbie E, Robbie T.
How about somebody who is in there previous years, who's not in there now, who realistically probably should be, and that's the Cowboy James Storm.
We're missing another one. Kurt Angle.
Yeah, Kurt Angle, another one.
He should be in it. You know, in this case, I would actually eliminate Kazarian and put Kurt Angle in that spot.
I would eliminate Jay Bradley, and then I would probably eliminate Joseph Park and put those two in there.
But, and Magnus.
Magnus is actually super popular overseas, and he's somebody that they're trying to build up. So I understand why he's in there. Those are a couple people that are definitely missing. I got to ask you, though, looking at it, this is obviously very early. You know, we got another 4 months, but the way the Bound for Glory series has, historically gone is, you know, the final four people who have the most points wrestle each other in a tournament style. And so I got to ask you, who do you think the final four people will be?
Hold on a second. I'm writing them down. Okay.
You're writing them down.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to go over because for some reason, every time I do. Okay. Here's who I think is going to be. Actually, no. We'll eliminate him.
You can only pick four, Andy. When I say final four, you can't say an honorable mention.
Yeah, an honorable mention. Okay, here's who I think is going to do it, all right? Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Hernandez, and Ken Anderson. That's who I think is going to do it. I don't think Jeff Hardy is going to do it because I
I truthfully believe that Samoa Joe is the next champion. I think that he'll actually take, because I bet Saban will not cash in at their, whenever they do Ultimate X, which will probably be free TV, of course. Yeah. I don't, that won't happen. So I believe that Samoa Joe will definitely win. And then because I think it'll be Samoa Joe versus Ken Anderson. That's who I think the final two will be. And then Samoa Joe will win, and he'll take on good old, well, it depends on who the champion is at the time, but we'll say Bully Ray.
So you have to have at least one heel in there.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what. So Ken Anderson, I could actually see a possible turn coming for him.
No.
With Aces and Eights.
No, not yet.
No. Well, what, here. This is
go ahead.
I'm thinking that he might make it to, like, he'll win his semifinal, and then he's going to take on, let's say, Samoa Joe, and Bully Ray's like, whoa, I don't want Ken Anderson to win. I don't want to have to take him on, you know, and then Anderson's like, you're not in my corner, and it becomes a kind of a little bit of a power struggle. But I definitely agree with you on Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. Hernandez, I do not see him make it to the Final Four at all. I think that you would probably see somebody like Bobby Roode would be, you know, another person that would make it. So if I had to choose right now, I'd say AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. I would probably say Bobby Roode, and then I'd probably say Ken Anderson would be my four.
All right.
And I know you said Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's AJ Styles.
All right. Okay.
Yep. So, but Andy,
now,
now
who's going to be the bottom two?
The bottom two?
Yeah.
Jay Bradley.
Yep.
And I'm going to say Kazarian.
Oh, man, dang it. You had the same two, dude.
I like Kaz a lot, but, you know, he's going to be in there as the joke character. So,
well, yeah, definitely. But yeah, so that's the Bound for Glory series. It's actually, you know, they're gearing it up 4 months out, and I'd like that. I really, really dig it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. So let's move on to our weekly topic. So let's talk Payback. And because he is going to Payback this week, we brought Mr. Doug Hahn on to the show as well. The pre-show is going to be Sheamus versus Damian Sandow. Now, Doug, is this going to be the best curtain jerker match, or is this going to be a match?
This will be the best match of the night.
Really?
Looking at the rest of the card, I'm not too thrilled about this one. You know, I still have some high hopes of Y2J versus CM Punk, but I really think that that's going to just be a BS thing, and it's going to start the feud between CM Punk and Paul Heyman.
All right. And of course we do know that that'll definitely happen now. The one thing also, do you think this could be a match that steals the show?
The pre-show?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really hope this time that, you know, Yahoo or wherever they're gonna, or YouTube, whatever it's on, it doesn't crash so I can actually watch the match.
My biggest disappointment with this match being the pre-show, though, is that Sheamus is a former world and WWE champion, and now he's on the pre-show. And it's not like Sheamus is Miz status, you know? Sheamus is actually, you know, pretty high up there, and people like him. But I think because it's the pre-show, I think Sheamus is definitely going to go over.
No, I disagree. I think Sandow's going to get a big win here.
I hope he does. It's a smart move, but I don't think that he is. What about you, Doug? What do you think?
I agree. I would like to see Sandow win, but I think it's going to be all Sheamus.
All right. Now, the next one we have is the Wade Barrett, Mike Mazarian, and Curtis Axel match. So, Doug, who's going to win?
Originally, I thought Fandango would win this match, but seeing as he is no longer in it, I'm going to say Wade Barrett retains.
Really?
Just to have him lose it to Fandango later.
Okay. Aaron, do you agree with that?
I could see that. Like we were talking about before, I think it would be really stupid to give the title to Curtis Axel. I think that I'm not saying he's not ready for it, but why give him a title when he's been there for, you know, 2-3 weeks? You know, I just think that that's stupid, but it is WWE we're talking about. So
actually what you could do is have Wade Barrett get disqualified.
I think what I actually agree with Doug on this too. I think that Wade, what'll happen is that he will win the title, or he'll beat Miz, so Curtis Axel won't be involved in the decision.
Okay, but, okay, that would actually save Curtis Axel still.
But, that would, yeah.
I'm just gonna say he's gonna get the IC title that night. So moving on to Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. Aaron, do you think that Dolph will retain?
I do. I think that Dolph has to retain. Otherwise, he's not going to look credible. He took a month off, you know, because he was concussed. And you cannot have him win the title or lose the title right away, because otherwise it's going to look worthless.
All right, Doug, who do you think is going to win this match?
I agree. It's going to be Dolph Ziggler going to take it.
Could this be match of the night?
It has a possibility of it.
All right.
I don't see why it couldn't.
Okay, so let's talk about Kane versus Dean Ambrose for the United States Heavyweight Championship. Doug, do you think that Dean's going to win and Kane's going to put him over?
Yeah, I think this is going to be another Shield night all around. Dean's going to win, whether it's from outside interference or something along those lines, or Kane loses it because he hits him with a chair or something. Either way, Ambrose is walking away with the title again.
All right. Do you think that, Aaron, do you think that what Doug is saying is going to happen?
Yeah, I do. I think that it'll actually be really good, too, because Kane is very credible. And having him, like we talked about almost a month ago now, when he took on Ryback and Ryback won, it actually made me believe in Ryback for a while. And I think Kane can do that to Ambrose. He can make you believe that Ambrose is just that really great wrestler and that he is worthy of that title. So I think that that's going to be the smart move.
All right. Now, do you think that this will make Dean Ambrose upper mid-card then?
Nah, I mean, still mid-card, but, you know, it'll be better than probably what they were planning on having them be.
All right, so we're just talking about one of the Shield members. Let's talk about the Shield versus Team RK-No. Doug, do you think that basically Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton are just going to feud and that's what's going to happen here?
It's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to, you know, whether this is where finally Randy turns heel by betraying Daniel Bryan or something along those lines, but this is where they're going to, you know, they did a good job in breaking up Team Hell No, but not in a feuding kind of way, because I don't know why they just can't have both baby faces, you know, leave on even necessarily good terms. But this is where Daniel Bryan, he breaks off. He's going to start doing his own thing in single wrestling, and hopefully he can get back in the title run.
All right. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Doug. And, you know, so I have Shield going over in this one, too.
Right, excellent. So, Lex, we have most likely the main event for the night will be John Cena versus Ryback in a three stages of hell. Aaron, do you think it's going to go to all three stages?
It's going to go Cena, Ryback, Cena.
You think so?
Yes. All and right. I predicted that a couple weeks back, and I'm going to stick with my prediction.
All right, Doug, what do you think about that?
I agree that it's going to go all three, but I'm going to say it's going to go Ryback, Cena.
All right. I actually wouldn't be surprised if it goes Cena.
They're going to say, just for the hell of it, we're going to have a third.
You know
one.
Why? Because we've seen enough. But here's what wouldn't surprise me: if they go Cena, and Ryback. And then technically does Cena retain then? Because though Ryback put him in the ambulance?
It's two out of three. It's not whatever one lasts.
But Cena said that he's still going to put him in the ambulance when he wins the first two.
Because it's at the end.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like having a Hell in a Cell match where you pin the guy and then all of a sudden you're going to take him and put him up and put him through the cage.
That's true. And remember, you got to break all four in the middle in order for that to be real.
Yep, you had to destroy everything before you could get the pin or the submission.
Yes. So moving on to what I consider will be the main event of the night, we have CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. Aaron, do you think CM Punk's really going to show up?
I do not think he will show up. I think that this match isn't going to happen, unfortunately. Well, I mean, I'm not. I shouldn't say that he's not going to show up, but the match won't happen.
I disagree, dude, because he actually recently was at a. I'm going to forget the band's name. It's going to bother the crap Rancid. Out of me. Thank you. Rancid, and they said they had a new song, and I'm not going to say the lyric or the name of it, but it's two words, and he said that's going to be CM Punk's entrance when he comes out on Sunday, when he returns on Sunday, something along those lines. That's why I think he's going to come back. Doug, would you be disappointed if he doesn't come back?
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't show up. Now, what? Like I said, I don't think they're going to have a match. I think Punk will come out and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't make this match. I'm not agreeing to this match. I'm not doing crap. And not have a match and walk out. But I would be very, very disappointed if he doesn't even at least show up.
Well, we do know that he's been going to the Blackhawk game. So we know he's in Chicago.
Yes.
And it'll be kind of cool to watch game two and see him in the crowd and be like, hey, dude, are you going to be at Allstate tomorrow? And see what he says. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this, because they could do a thing where he just comes out and says, I'm not ready to come back yet. Or he can come out and make it clobber in time. So, Doug, yeah. You're going to be sitting in section 114. It's going to be row F in one of those seats there. And we're going to do something really cool. If you actually go up to Doug and say, hey, we love you on Off the Mark, we got a wrestling almanac that I have sitting here that I will give to you if you get it. Just give Doug your information, and I will send it out to you. So, Doug, overall, are you looking forward to Payback and being there?
I'll tell you what. I'm more excited about going to TNA next Thursday.
Oh, snap.
Yes. So am I. But are you at least looking forward to going to a pay-per-view and then going to WWE one night and then going to TNA a few nights later?
And kind of as I said with Extreme Rules, where I didn't get I got a little bit of a cheaper seat. So I'm not necessarily thrilled about going to see this, and the lackluster card. I don't know. It's nothing too happy about.
Okay. All right. So, we are looking forward to, of course, you and I are going to be at TNA, and we get the VIP treatment, which we'll see what that entails. It'll be either a great show next week, or it's going to be a really bad one. But unfortunately, we'll have to release the show a little bit later, since we will be there live. And as everyone knows, the taping, we don't know when it's going to end, because they have to tape Explosion and they have to tape the second show. So it'll be very interesting to see how long we're actually there, because I've been told that we also could do stuff afterwards, but we'll wait to find out. So unfortunately, Off the Mark will most likely be released a little bit late, later on Friday. So anyway, so final thoughts, Aaron?
You know, I think that the pay-per-view is probably going to be mediocre, unfortunately. And, the Three Stages of Hell match will probably be a good one. But other than that, it just seems a little thrown together.
Yes,
at the
it
last
does.
Minute.
They announced everything on Raw, and I can tell you right now, I don't think Doug was too happy when he's like, yeah, they've only really announced three matches, and they've rumored a bunch of other ones. So I can understand if Doug complains about the Payback show. But Doug, TNA and WWE pay-per-view next week. Are you looking forward to everything that happens?
I am, and I'm still even trying to win tickets to go see the Bloomington house show the night before the pay-per-view.
That would be a good one to go to, too, since you're only 45 minutes away from there.
Yes, it would. It would just make the whole week worth of wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of wrestling. So, of course, next week's episode is going to be released a little bit later, but it's going to be extra long because we got live Payback and live TNA. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. Next time, we'll see you in the ring.